Last week, Corey was, we started our new sermon series over Joshua, and he's been teaching me and helping me understand different styles of preaching as I'm learning. I felt a call to ministry. He's been, we meet together and he talks me through things, and he taught me about a type of sermon called an expository sermon. And what that means is we are just exposing every detail. The goal is not to have a teaching point, but it is to expose every detail in whatever you're reading. And when he told me that, I was like, cool, I think I understand. He's like, most of the time, you're going to pick a smaller group or smaller passage. And I did not realize he was going to come up and preach for a whole hour on verse 1. And so we did the whole first sermon on verse 1. I had already started working on where I felt like I was hearing and studying. And so I was like, we're going to do 2 through 9. And then he did verse 1. And I was like, well, maybe I need to rearrange some things. So I did not rearrange some things, but we kind of shifted our focus. We are still focusing on 2 through 9, but we are going to really focus on verse 9 today. Verse 9 is something that I feel like we hear a lot. We say a lot, we quote a lot, it makes you feel good, it makes other people feel good. You put it, I was giving my mom a hard time last night, you put it on your kitchen wall, right? And so verse 9, let's all read it together. Let's just go. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so that is a verse that we see a lot, and we quote a lot. And when you have somebody that's going through a hard time, and you're telling them, hey, be strong and courageous, it says it in the Bible, right? Don't be frightened, don't be dismayed, it says it in the Bible, right? God is with you wherever you go. All of those things are correct, but sometimes what this verse is used as, I was trying to think of a way to describe it, but I think I'm gonna teach some of you wiser people a saying that we use. It's called clickbait. Okay, clickbait is when a media outlet, news, an influencer, if you know what that means, they post something and they have a really catchy line, right? Something that perks your ears up, right? I was clickbaiting people this week when I would go up to them and I would be like, a kid disappeared for 3 days and returned completely changed, right? And your head automatically, just because of the crazy world we live in, goes to a crazy thing. And I was like, yeah, he went to church camp and got saved, right? Like, that's clickbaiting, right? I'm perking your ears up so that way you hear, or that way you start to listen, or that way it gets your attention, right? And so verse 9 is used a lot of times for people who maybe they don't know their Bible, they don't know the gospel, they don't know the true story, but they need something that makes them feel good in that moment, right? And they hear, oh, I get to be strong, I don't have to be scared, God's with me, but they don't know the backstory of it. And so this is what we're exposing today, is going to be the backstory of 1-9. There's 3 parts of 2 through 9. So the whole passage where God is speaking to Joshua is 2 through 9, and he's giving Joshua 3 things in this conversation, kind of telling Joshua, he's giving him 3 things. The first thing are declarations. We kind of started in the book, they painted the setting with, it said Moses had died, right? And now God is speaking to Joshua and he is declaring what has already happened and what is happening right now. He's not asking him to do anything yet, he's just declaring. He's making declarations. That's the first part of this. And then the second part is he's giving him conditions, right? There are things that have to happen in order for these declarations, right? What has already happened, there are conditions that are part of this passage. And then the last part is encouragement. And that is where we get to 1-9, right? But if we're only focusing on 1-9, then we lose a lot of the meat and the potatoes of what's actually in this conversation, right? We're only hearing dessert. We're only hearing what tastes good and what feels good, but we're not hearing what matters, right? What fuels your body. And it is not strawberry ice cream. I had really good strawberry ice cream last night. I was hanging out with Hank and Riley and we went and got strawberry ice cream. It was so good. But 1-9 is strawberry ice cream, right? But we gotta eat before we can get to dessert and before we can fully understand and fully feel good. And so the first thing, what we're going to do is we're going to uncover and we're going to expose what does 1:9 mean? What is it actually saying? And in order to do that, we have to understand what has happened. What is God telling Joshua has happened? What is happening? What needs to happen? What is God telling Joshua needs to happen? And then that gives us a backstory of what the encouragement actually means. Right? If I were to post on Facebook or if I'm talking to you, it's not clickbaiting you if I tell you, hey, a kid got saved, right? But what perks your ears is when I was like, he disappeared for 3 days. That's what perks your ears, right? 1:9 perks our ears up, but we have to understand the story to fully get the picture of this passage and what God is saying to Joshua and what God has passed on to us as leadership lessons. We have to fully understand the whole passage here. So the first declaration that he makes is, you're the next man up, right? We talked about this last week for an hour, why Joshua was ready, why Joshua was prepared, right? He enjoyed being in the presence of God. Moses would leave and Joshua would sit. He enjoyed being in the presence of God, right? He kept himself from sin, right? Obviously, he was sinful, but when everybody else is making idols and stuff, Joshua's on the mountain with Moses, right? He's out of sin in that way, right? And then he had been there. He watched Moses lead, right? The best leaders are people who understand what they're doing, and then they've seen other people do it, and now they can replicate it. Right? And so he is prepared. So what God is saying, the first verse 2 and 3, where's my Bible? Here it is. Moving things around. Joshua 1, 2 and 3. Moses, my servant, is dead. That happened. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all this people into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you just as I promised Moses. Hey, this is what I promised Moses. He died. You're the next man up. All right, it's your turn to lead this pack. Right? At this time, Joshua's probably close to 80. Right? Joshua, he was in Egypt for 40 years as a slave. Right? He was a spy. He was a slave. And then Moses leads them out of Egypt into the wilderness for 40 years. Then Moses dies. Right? And so now, it's Joshua's turn. He's watched. He's done the right things. He's prepared. Now it's his turn. The next thing, my covenant is still verse 4 and 6. Verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. The same thing as what was said in Genesis 15. If everybody will turn to Genesis 15, verse 18. So now he's talking to Abram, before Joshua, before Moses. On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. All of those, it's the same land. And then we go to Deuteronomy 11:24. Flip there, it's not too far. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. Your territory shall be from the wilderness to the Lebanon, from the river Euphrates to the western sea. It's the same covenant. His promise is still good. That is what he is saying. Hey, you are the next guy, right? It's your turn to lead, and you have the same goal. You have the same promise that I promised your ancestors, right? My word, my promise is still good. Next part, no man shall stand before you. Verse 5, let's go back to Joshua. We're going to be flipping a couple times today. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. We hear that in Deuteronomy 11:23. Right? When he's not talking to Joshua, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. Right? So what he's declaring is that he is constant. right? He made a promise. His promise is still good, right? He made a covenant with Abram, and he's following through, and it's carrying on. It's the same land, and no man shall be able to stand before them. Now, what we want to make sure, we'll get into this more later, but he's not saying you will walk in a bubble of peace, right? He doesn't say you're walking in a bubble of peace and nobody is going to have something to say about it, or you're not going to have to fight anybody or something. He's not saying that. But he's saying, in the end, I know what happens, and in the end, my promise is good. So those are the declarations. What's the big idea? His word is still good. It's the same land, it's the same promise, it's the same covenant. He is constant. He remains the same. And then we get into conditions. The first condition, follow and obey fully the laws commanded to you, Joshua 1:7. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded to you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may have good success wherever you go. Now, this is where you have to be careful, right? Because it started with be strong and courageous. And sometimes we want to stop there, right? Let's be strong. Let's be courageous. Let's go, team. Hit the road. Let's go, right? But what does it say? Be careful to do according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded to you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that you have good success wherever you go. If you notice, it says that you have good success wherever you go. After it says, do according to the law that Moses, my servant, had commanded to you. Right? We have to be operating in the will of God to be successful. Right? We may have what we think is success, but truly successful, we need to be operating under God's promises, under God's word, under God's presence, right? We have to know what he said, what his will, what has been revealed to us, and we need to make sure we are abiding by that, right? We're not just being strong and courageous. We're not being big and bad and going up against everybody, right? We're operating in his will still. We're following his covenant. The next condition, meditate on it. Verse 8, it's a core scripture at Premier Martial Arts. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Period. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Meditate on the word. Meditate on the law that he gave to Moses. Right? Now, so I was talking to a friend. His name's Lincoln. And he was showing me this thing called an interlinear Bible. And it shows you the Bible and then it has Hebrew. Or once you get to the New Testament, it has Greek. And it shows you different words. And you can click a word and it shows you the Hebrew word. I tried for like 2 days to figure out how to get to these things. Turns out you click the number. The number corresponds to the word. Corey showed me. It's really cool. It works well. But the word for meditate, after he showed me how to use this really cool website that is really pretty cool. The word meditate, haggah, means to mimic or to murmur. And so after he showed me how to use this website, then we got caught talking because we both just don't pay attention real well. I had a thing to do, but we just talked for an hour. It was cool. And haggah means to mimic or to murmur. And what Corey was talking to me about, which I hadn't heard or seen that way, in martial arts, right, there's a lot of things that they try to connect to different spiritual beliefs, and right, and sometimes you like, okay, whatever, but like there's still good technique behind it, right? And so we're finding that in martial arts. Here, when the Bible says to meditate on it, haggah, right, what we think about, because what we've seen recently in our culture is like Eastern meditation, which is like clear your mind, sit and with your hands on your knees like this, om, like that's what we think about. Right? And that's not what he's talking about. He's not saying, read my word so much that you can sit down and forget about it and just clear your mind. What he's saying is, read my word, know the law, follow it so much that you are mimicking it and that you are murmuring it day and night. that when you lay your head down at night, it is the only thing you've been thinking about all day. It's the only thing you've been trying to do all day is follow the law, mimic the law. That when you lay your head down at night, all you can do is just say the law. Right? That's what we're talking about. That's the condition. He wants him to pursue the law, pursue his word that much that when he lays down at night, he's murmuring God's word. So that's the condition, right? Because it says, you shall meditate on it day and night, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. It doesn't say, be big and bad, you'll be nice and successful, and you also have to do this. It says, meditate on the word day and night. You're murmuring it when you lay your head down at night. And when you murmur it, and when it's in your head, and when you're following it, that's when you will see the fruits. Right? It's not saying, focus on the fruits, then obey the law. It's saying, obey the law, and you will see fruits. Does that make sense a little bit? Now I'm getting into like when I teach a class, I'm like, does that make sense? No, we're not doing that. The last condition, be strong and courageous. Now this is one, anytime somebody goes through Joshua 2 through 9, 1 through 9, whatever, everybody has an opinion on why he said it or what he said it. And so what I'm doing up here, I want you to read it, and I want you to form an opinion on what you think he was saying to Joshua by saying, be strong and courageous three times, and what you learned from it. What I heard, I'm reading through this, I'm studying it, I'm trying to cross-reference as much as I can, I'm using the weird number dictionary, trying to figure it out. He says, be strong and courageous three different times. And in that, why would he say be strong and courageous? Let's just think about Joshua. We talked about why he was qualified, right? Why is he qualified to take over from Moses? He's next in line, right? He was a slave for 40 years. He came out of slavery, right? None of us have been slaves, but we can understand that when you come out of that, you probably have a new sense of yourself, right? You understand things a little bit differently, right? And then he was a soldier and a spy, and he was a good one, right? He was a good soldier. It talks about it in Deuteronomy, how Joshua was winning battles, right? He was a good soldier. And then he watched the power of God through Moses. He watched Moses lead people out of somewhere that nobody ever thought Moses would be. Moses really didn't think at first that he was going to be able to do it. Right? So he's watched all of those things, and now God is talking to him and he tells him, be strong and courageous. Now there's a lot of different opinions. What I was hearing, whether it's just I needed to hear it or whatever, what I'm hearing when God is saying, be strong and courageous, 6, 7, and 9. 6, be strong and courageous, for ye shall cause this people to inherit the land. 7, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to the law. 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? What I am hearing and reading through that is he is not trying to tell him to get big, be big and bad. There's a very clear, when you're fighting, right? I'm going back to martial arts. When you're fighting, there's a difference between reacting and responding. There's a difference between I see what's happening, so I'm going to respond and I'm under control. And then I got punched in the face and it's time for me to go back at him and I got to react. And now I'm fighting emotionally, right? What I was hearing, whether I needed to hear it or you needed to hear it, I don't know. What I'm hearing is he's telling Joshua, when he's saying be strong and courageous, it is not go lead this people out of fear. Or it's all on your shoulders now, you got to run with it. Figure it out. What I am hearing in my studying, what I'm telling you, is I feel like he's telling Joshua, operate in faith and not fear. Be strong and courageous, not in yourself, but in my presence and my power and in my promises. Right? Be strong and courageous because of me, not because of you. Right? And so the big idea, God has given us the guidelines to follow. God has the promises. We have the word, right? We have everything we need. And we can't understand how he's encouraging if we don't understand what the conditions are, right? If we don't understand that we need to murmur, that we need to literally just be speaking the law, that's how much we're in love with it. If we don't understand that we need to be following it instead of just focus on the promised land or focus on the fruits, that we need to actually put more importance on what he's telling us to do instead of putting importance on what we're going to get, right? We don't understand the encouragement until we understand the conditions. Operate in faith, not fear, right? And then I'm talking to Corey about this cool little word thing about clicking the dictionary and it's a number, whatever. And he's like, you know what the word for strong is? And this is after I've already written down faith, not fear, all the things. I had a couple different tangents I might or might not go on. And then he's like, do you know what the word strong is? It's chazak. I may have said it wrong. The dictionary number thing doesn't tell you how to say it. But it says it is not to like overpower or to like outwork. It is to cling to or to fasten to. Right? So he's not telling Joshua to overpower him, whether it's with Joshua's might or with God. He's not even telling him that. What he's telling him is fasten upon my promise, my power, and my presence. Cling to my promise, my power, and my presence. And so that was where we're walking in faith and not fear. I'm operating out of, I know God is right here. I know God is right here. I know God is over there. I know God is where he's telling me to go. I'm clinging to that. I'm not being big and bad because I have God. I'm not big and bad at all. I'm just with the guy who's big and bad. And that's where I'm getting my strength and courage from. And so now we get to the encouragement because we understand we need to follow the laws, not focus on the fruits, right? We need to be so in love with the word that we're saying it in our sleep. And then we need to operate in faith. So the encouragement, we just talked about it. Be strong and courageous, right? He's not saying get big and bad. Okay, what he is telling us is to cling to the person who is big and bad. He's not bad, but like, you know what I mean. He's telling us to cling to him, right? And then, point number two, do not be frightened or dismayed. I really nerded out in Hebrew this week, right? So frightened, afraid, right? A rat. Probably said it wrong, said it like a Texan, I don't care. To dread, okay? It's not saying necessarily the way we think of scared, like, ah, right? It's saying do not dread. When it says do not be frightened, right? We're in verse 9 now. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. Do not dread my work. Do not dread what I have called you to do. Do not dread following the law, doing what I've asked you to do to get to the promised land. Do not dread doing that. Do not be dismayed. I don't even want to try to say it. Chathath. Right? Beat down. Okay, back to martial arts. Beat down. Do not be beat down. Okay? Sometimes, when we are operating in God's will, when we are doing what he's asked us to do, when we are serving people who don't know Jesus the way we know Jesus, it is easy to dread doing what he has asked us to do. And it is easy to be discouraged and to be beat down. Right? When you are serving people who don't understand love the way you understand love. When you're serving people, I mean, just decency, right? If you're serving people who don't know God, who maybe have gone the wrong path, whatever it is, who cares, right? It doesn't matter. But it's easy to dread having that conversation. That's a hard conversation. I'm going to dread it. It's not saying, I'm scared to have it. We're not necessarily scared. We just don't want to, right? It's easy to be beat down. I go have a hard conversation. It doesn't go the way I thought it was going to go, and so I get beat down. But I'm operating in God's will, and that's the way it's supposed to go, right? It'll happen. That's fine. But I can't be discouraged by it because I'm called. I have a higher calling, right? This is what we're called to do. So sometimes we focus on the encouragement and we think of be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed. What we're thinking of is be big and bad and be so big and bad that you don't get scared of anything else. And that's not what it's saying, right? And so that's why we got to make sure that thing on our kitchen wall, Mom, we have to make sure that when we read strength and courage, we're thinking about clinging to strength and courage, right? And when we read do not be frightened or do not be dismayed, it's not do not be scared, but let's not dread doing what we know we got to do, and let's not get discouraged by doing what we knew we had to do. And then the last one, this is where we get nerdy. This is one of my favorite. I paid a little bit of attention in Bible class, okay? Just a little bit. And this was my favorite nerdy topic that Mr. Page, Corey, whatever we call him now. This is my favorite topic that he would talk about. I'm with you wherever you go. We can never fully understand it ever. Right? We can understand maybe he's with us. Maybe he's with us. It's even harder to understand he's 100% intentional with his time with me at the same time he's being 100% intentional with his time with somebody else. Right? We can maybe get to that point where we realize we have all of God's attention and that person has all of God's attention all at the same time. But what's really hard, this is my favorite thing that he ever did. Not favorite, but close. He's right here. Everywhere we go, the ground that we walk on, he's there, right? Everywhere, the skies above, wherever we're walking, he's there. He's with us wherever we go. So this one, I'm having a hard time putting into words, right? Because we can't really fully understand it. But when we sit and think about it, to some people, it perks your ears up. Like, yeah, he's with me wherever I go. And to other people, that is terrifying, right? And I think a healthy balance of both maybe is where we ought to be, right? But we want to cling to the guy who's with us wherever we go, right? I want to get behind him, right? But also, he got eyes in the back of his head and he sees what I'm doing behind him, right? And so the encouragement there, that could be encouraging or discouraging. But when we really think about it, right, we're strong and courageous. We're clinging to the person in front of us, right? We're not dreading or being beat down because he's right in front of me and I'm not going to roll my eyes when he tells me what to do, right? To dread something, to be beat down by it, right? There's been a lot of things that I dreaded and I turned around and rolled my eyes before my mom could see it. She still saw it, but that's okay. So he's right in front of us, right? Let's not roll our eyes and let's cling to his promises. The big idea, God gives us things that we can't handle. That's sometimes you hear that, right? God will never give you something that you can't handle. He gives us things we can't handle. But he gives you a solution. He gives you the tools to figure it out. He gives you the tools. When you follow his will, the tools are in place, right? We talked about snakes, right? God sent snakes. He didn't send a snake killer, right? He didn't send an exterminator, right? But he sent a solution, right? There are things that will happen. This is the encouragement of Joshua 1:9. There are things, right? But be strong and courageous is not saying big and bad, right? We're clinging. That's the tool. I am clinging to God, right? He is strength and courage. I'm just putting my name behind him, right? I'm not rolling my eyes, right? I'm not dreading or being beat down by his work because he is strength and courage, right? And he is constant. His promise is constant. His presence is constant. His power is constant. So we need to fasten to his power, look challenges in the face, and say, bring it on, right? We're not going to dread it. We're not going to roll our eyes. Hey, I need to have that conversation. This could go terribly, bring it on. Let's have some fun, right? Let's go do the Lord's work and make a mess a little bit. Stir it up, right? God will clean it up. We're stirring it up. He's telling me, hey, let's go have that conversation, right? And know who's with you, because he's with you wherever you go. And it's hard to understand, but let's sit and ponder on it. Let's ponder on that, right? He is with me in the good. He is with me in my bad. He is with me wherever I go. So what is our takeaway? We need to lean on or cling to the promises, the presence, and the power of God. That is completely different than what we read in Joshua 1:9 at the very beginning, but it's the thing that he's saying in Joshua 1:9. We just didn't have the backstory. We got clickbaited, right? We need to know what has happened, what needs to happen, and what will happen. But if we only focus on what will happen and you don't know what's happening or what has already happened, then you get confused. Right? You focus on the wrong things. So instead of leaning on the fruits, the feel good, for them the promised land, instead of, we want to enjoy the fruits, right? Yes. But also, we should enjoy God's word, we should enjoy God's presence, and we should enjoy God's power a whole lot more than we should enjoy anything that we see on earth or even in heaven. In heaven, we will finally understand and we will get to enjoy God's presence and peace and power, right? But right now, it's really easy to get focused on the other things, right? Focused on the good stuff, but not the God stuff, right? And so, when we focus on the end product, we get confused. After Joshua, right, the people were so happy, they were so whatever in the promised land, that they were focused on the wrong things. They lost their love for the law. They lost their love for God's word, for God's presence. They slowly abandoned their faith, right? It doesn't say they just turned around, boom, done. No, but slowly over time, when we're focusing on the wrong things, it's easy to not catch it, but eventually we're on the way wrong side of the crowd or where we're supposed to be. We run the risk of doing the same thing when we're focusing on the wrong things, slowly abandoning our faith, idolizing and worshiping other things. We talk about it a whole lot, right? That's what they did after Joshua, right? We talk about it a whole lot. What do people see when they look at me before they see God? Do they see my social media presence, right? Do they see something else, right? They should see God first. And if I'm putting something in front of God, then I am idolizing or I'm worshiping the wrong things. So there's two places that we may be right now. Number one is you've never understood or gotten to cling to or lean to the power, the promise, and the presence of God. Whether you didn't know, you didn't understand. I know people who didn't care to know. Right? They don't talk about all that. I don't want to know. I know I'm bad. Right? But you've never had that peace of surrender where I don't care what happens. That's a hard thing to say, right? I'm trying to wake up every morning and be like, I don't care what happened, but I care what happens, right? But you've never got to lean on that. Or you've leaned on it before. You did a great job of pursuing God. He's pursuing you and you're pursuing him back, right? You're reading his word, right? You're living in the presence of God. You are aware of the power of God. But slowly you've started to focus on the wrong things. I've been there too. Right? It's one step backwards, and then there's mud behind you, so you slide a little bit, and then you take another step, and there's more mud, and then it's a waterfall, and you just fall. Whatever. Right? You start off strong, and then you start to focus on the good things, not the God things. We need to make sure we're realigning our focus and we're shifting on our focus. Okay, so we're going to end a little bit early because we got the picnic and everything coming up. But as we are closing with music, I want you guys to think about and I want you guys to pray about. Melanie, you can come on up. Whenever you are at home in your quiet time, are you operating, are you decision-making because you have to and out of fear? Or are you operating in the presence of God, living in the presence of God? Are you clinging to strength and courage? Right? Are you clinging to the person who's in you and next to you? Right? So while we sing, I want us to stand and I want us to pray, God, show me your power, your presence, your peace, your promises, what you've called me to. And if you don't know that, come up. We'll pray with you.